following program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Well, good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I am your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stick around. It'll be a short time, 30 minutes maybe, of motivation, some inspiration, a whole lot of education with no manipulation. We don't try to con people. We're not looking for money. We're not trying to sell you something. We just want to give you God's Word, hopefully to help you verify and identify His plan for your life. And if that's possible, if I can do that, and maybe the Holy Spirit would use what I tell you, then you can orient and adjust to the plan if you'd like to do so. But thank you for a few minutes of your time, and those of you that write, thank you so very much. You can always contact us through our website, rickhughesministries.org, or you can call 800-831-0718. We have two new books coming out. They're at the press right now. The latest one is God's Grace and Aging. I think this is a phenomenal book for anybody over 50, and a lot of our radio listeners are definitely that way. So if you're older, like me, you might want to read this book. We put a lot of work into this. What does God provide for you as you grow older, and what does God expect out of you as you grow older? God's Grace and Aging. And then we've also redone a book on Bible Promises and Principles that we provided so many of these books. This deals with the promises of the Word of God that you can claim and put to work in your life, and various principles, short principles in the back of the book that are not too complicated to understand, just one or two liners. Like bad decisions limit future options. That's the principle. So if you want to order those books, all you got to do is go to the website, rickhughesministries.org. You can order from the website, or you can call us at 800-831-0718. Now, today, what we want to talk about is interesting. You know, the demand for power exceeds the need for power. I'll say that again. The demand for power exceeds the need for power. Everybody wants to be in power today. We have the Democrats wanting to be in power and in control of Congress and running the nation. We have the Republicans thinking they got a better plan. They want to be in power and control and run the show. And the person that's really in power is unseen, and that's the devil, because we live in the devil's world. And we're trying to find our way through the devil's world, because the Bible says, if you are a Christian, you don't belong here. You're just a sojourner. You're a visitor. You're passing through. But the thing about power is always there, and the world is looking for power. Maybe in your family, somebody's manipulating, trying to be the power. Maybe at where you work, there's always someone trying to build their happiness on someone else's unhappiness so they can have power. Well, today I want to talk to you about the power resources you have. The power God gives you. I think you will be blown away with this understanding if you stick with me and learn it. Because we want to consider all the powerful resources God provides for each of us. While we live in this church age, that's what we're living in, not the Old Testament. We're in the church age. And we are engaged in what's called the angelic conflict. And there is power for us. So the key information for us to remember is that we have been provided everything we need to combat and defeat whatever comes our way while we live in this devil's world. Everything. It's all provided. God has made some powerful weapons for us to use. So remember again, this is not our home. We're just passing through. And this is what the Holy Spirit does. He escorts us and empowers us from time to eternity. In the scriptures now, let's go into three enemies we have to take a look at before we begin our study on power. The scripture warns us that we have three enemies we will face during our mission as ambassadors for Jesus Christ in the devil's world. And if you're a Christian, that's exactly what you are. You're an ambassador for Christ. You're representing Him in the devil's world. And so there are three enemies we face, and you should know these. They're fairly understandable, common. We talk about them all the time. The first one is your carnal nature, and that's called the flesh in Paul's writings. He wrote in Galatians 5:17, the flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit wars against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you do not do the things that you should do or the things that you wish. So there is a battle in your flesh to control your life. And if you let it, the flesh can take power over you and control you. And the second thing we're aware of this is the devil. And he has tremendous power, and he would like to control you as well. And so the Bible tells us in Ephesians 6:11 through 12, put on the whole armor of God so you can withstand the strategy of the devil. In verse 12, Ephesians 6, for we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. There's a whole series of demons right there. I don't have time to get into all of it, but this is exactly what that is. Principalities, that's the powerful demons. Powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world. More demons, spiritual hosts and wickedness in heavenly places, more demons. Satan has a demonic army, just like God has an army. And some of those demons have rank and power. So our battle is not just against Satan, but also against demons who are assigned our case to G2 on us, because he's not omnipresent. Satan can't be in Jerusalem and in America at the same time. But demons are assigned various believers, and so if you are a mature believer, you can bank it that he has a G2 on you. He knows who you are, he knows what you're up to, and he knows what your weaknesses are. The third enemy that you face is the lure of the world, or the cosmic system. So we have the carnal nature, the flesh. We have Satan, the devil, and the angelic conflict that goes on around us with those demons. And then in 1 John 2:15, John wrote about how the world can attract you. He says, don't love the world and don't love the things in the world, because if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That means if anyone's preoccupied with the world, he gets distracted from being in love for the Father. Because the Bible says, if you love me, you will obey me, and my mandates are not grievous, in 1 John 5:3. But the world will tell you just the opposite. The world will tell you happiness is in people and circumstances, and that is not true. Happiness, as Luke 24 says, happiness is in hearing God's word and in keeping God's word. That's where true happiness comes from. So all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, that appeals to your flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, this is not of the Father, but it's from the world. And the world is going to pass away, and the lust of it will pass away, but whoever does the will of God will abide forever. That's a powerful statement. Whoever does the will of God will abide forever. Now, you may wonder what that means. I will quote to you what Jesus Christ our Lord said. This is the will of the one who sent me, that you believe in me whom he has sent. The will of God is for you to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to receive him as your Savior. Now, we just identified three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. In order for you to overcome these enemies, God's bestowed upon you unlimited power. And this power, if you will utilize it, will give you victory over each one of those opponents that confronts you. But if you fail to use these divine resources I'm going to tell you about this morning, then I guarantee you that you will constantly and consistently fail, and you will find yourself feeling frustration because you don't have the ability to pass the test in life. So let's start with the promise from our Lord to his disciples, okay? In John 14, our Lord was about to leave. He knew he was going to be arrested. He knew he was going to be crucified. He told them he was going to be killed. They didn't quite get the picture yet, but here's what he told them. In John 14:16, I will pray the Father, that's request the Father, and he will give you another helper. Not me. I'm going to be gone. You're going to have another helper. So that he may abide with you forever. The whole time you're here, the Holy Spirit lives in you. Don't forget that. In you right now, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit living in you. In verse 17 of John 14, he's called the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him nor know him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a phenomenal power asset in the Holy Spirit. This promise is a divine provision made by God the Father through Jesus Christ that's available to each one of us today. We have living in us God the Holy Spirit. Now, how did that get there? Well, Ephesians 1:13 tells us, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom you also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Did you hear that? You heard it. And you believed it, and you were sealed. That's how you get saved. You heard it, you believed it, and you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That means that nobody can take you out of God's plan. The Holy Spirit locks the door, and He's in you and will be in you until you go to be to heaven. So this is the most critical doctrine for every Christian to understand. Listen very carefully as I make the emphasis here. The Christian life, and this frustrates me when I talk to people that don't understand this, the Christian life cannot function properly without the filling of the Holy Spirit. Cannot do that. You can't live the Christian life without the filling of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because He is your source of power. He is your source of power to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. In Acts 1:8, the Bible, here's what was told them. You will receive power, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea, even to Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The power is there. God, the Holy Spirit, lives in you. That's an unlimited power resource. What a phenomenal thing. The word power is the word dunamis. And then, we get our word dynamite from that Greek word dunamis. It's an invisible assistance given to every believer by the Holy Spirit to help us overcome temptation, as well as a divine ability both morally and spiritually. And it can be considered a force that enables, I know it was considered a force that enabled even the early apostles to endure and overcome the persecutions that they faced, as well as perform many of the miracles that they did. And why did they do those miracles? To prove their identity as being divinely appointed individuals called apostles. So, again, the Holy Spirit is the power available to you, and He lives in you. And if you're not tapping into that power, you are not living the Christian life as God designed it. So the spiritual life has to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, or else all of your spiritual efforts will simply be called human good. The sin nature has a good side to it, and it can do good things. Even lost people can be kind and generous and thoughtful and friendly. And that doesn't mean that you're a good Christian because you're kind and generous and thoughtful and friendly. You're a good Christian if you're growing in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you're being controlled by the Holy Spirit, that's a good Christian, representing Christ through your life. So simply human good is not acceptable to God. Spiritual efforts in the flesh, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. You have unconfessed sin in your life. You trot off down to church. You put on your Sunday go-to-meeting suit. You're part of the nod to God crowd. And you show up and you smile and you say, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. And you leave and go. And you were in the flesh the whole time. You had unconfessed sin in your life the whole time. You wasted your time. You did not glorify God. You produced human good, and that will be burned up at the judgment seat of Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It's called wood, hay, and stubble. Because you didn't do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the key here. Gives you the ability to overcome that sin nature. And all this stuff about human good and all the religiosity type stuff, it was completely unacceptable and be rejected at the judgment seat of Christ. So if you want to win the battle, if you want to win the battle against fleshly lust, for example, you absolutely must stay filled with the Holy Spirit using Rebound, problem-solving device number one. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to purify us from all wrongdoing. Because if we don't rebound, we can't live the Christian life. So we rebound when we fail. Fail. That's right. You will fail. And if you think you're not going to fail, you're wrong. Nobody's perfect. The only perfect person that ever walked this earth is, again, our Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to fail. And here's something you need to consider. You might even do something that shocks yourself. And you might do that and you may think, well, I must not be a Christian, or I wouldn't have done that. Or now that I've done that, I'm not a Christian anymore. Not true. That's exactly what Satan would love for you to do. Go sit in the corner and feel sorry for yourself because you blew it. Nobody's perfect, and God loves you regardless of your mistakes. And if you will go to the Lord and rebound your sin, confess your sin to God, you will allow the Holy Spirit to continue controlling your life. But if you don't, if you sin and you don't admit it to God, then you wind up quenching the Holy Spirit and grieving the Holy Spirit. And you lose the power, the ability that He gives you to overcome the world of flesh and the devil. In Romans 7:15 through 20, Paul talked about his flesh and how powerful the flesh is. He said these words. He said, I don't understand why I do some things. For what I want to do, I actually don't do. The things I hate, that's what I wind up doing. And if I do what I don't want to do, then I agree with the law that's good. But as it is, it's not me that does it, it's my sin that lives in me. For I know that the good itself does not dwell in me. That's in my sin nature. For I have the desire to do what's right, what's good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but I do the evil that I don't want to do. And that's Paul the Apostle talking. It may sound like you. Maybe it's a little confusing to you. But he's saying now, if you do what you don't want to do, it's no longer I that does it, but it's sin living in me that does it. You have a sin nature. You have a carnal man. You have a flesh. That's why sometimes you seem like two different people. Sometimes you're great. Sometimes you and the Lord are on the same page, and sometimes you're in left field because your sin nature took control because you shut down the power. You grieved the Holy Spirit. You quenched the Holy Spirit. You don't have the power to overcome the flesh. When it comes to defeating Satan, there's only one way for you to do that one, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Here's another enemy we talked about. You must use, listen carefully, the power of the Word of God. The power of the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and to the joints and the marrow, and is critic, discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is a powerful asset when combined with the Holy Spirit. And this is what the Holy Spirit uses to give you that power. He uses the Word of God, the living Word of God, alive and powerful. Let me show you how our Lord used it in Matthew 4 when he was tempted. It's a rather long passage. I'm going to read it to you. Please bear with me. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. It could be you. Here it is. Maybe you. And when he had fasted 40 days, now I know you're not going to do that, but our Lord went through that, fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Afterwards, he was hungry. And this was before he began his public ministry. This is Satan cross-examining him right here. When the tempter came to him, that's a.k.a. the devil, and he said this, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones become bread." Now listen to what Jesus told him. Our Lord said, "It is written," that's the Word of God, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And I can see the devil shaking his head. Uh-oh, foiled again. So then the devil took him up to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and he said, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it's written." And now the devil's quoting the Bible, but misquoting the Bible, but he's quoting it. "He will give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." So here's Satan. He thinks you don't know it. He can quote Scripture. But Jesus said to him, "It is written," again, the Word of God, "you shall not tempt the Lord your God." And then, finally, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said, "All these things I will give to you if you will just fall down and worship me." That should be proof to you that he is the king of this world. This is the devil's world. So Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan. It is written," there it is, the Word of God, "it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." The devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. You are less than powerful if you don't know the Scripture. That's why I keep telling you, get under the ministry of a well-qualified pastor. Begin to grow daily. Take in the Word of God daily. Learn the Word of God and develop those 7,000 promises that are there for you so you can live the faith-rest life. I mean, we try to provide all we can do. I'm not a pastor. I'm just a simple evangelist. But we've got a lot of material that will help you. So a lot of our books are available for you, like Practicing Your Christianity or a Christian Problem-Solving book. All this is available for you to help you understand the power in the living Word of God that is for you. My life would be absolutely powerless if I didn't understand these things. Our strength comes from the power of the living Scriptures, and it's called faith. That's your power. Faith is your power. And that's exactly what studying and learning God's Word does for you. It increases your faith. So as you grow spiritually and learn the Word of God, retain the Word of God, use the Word of God, your faith increases. Where does that come from? In the Bible, the Scripture. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There it is. So if you're not listening to the teaching of the Word of God, you are going to be faithless. You're not going to have any fidelity, and you'll be operating on human good. And you'll think, oh, I'm really doing God an honor and favor because I don't cuss and I don't drink and I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't hang around those that do. And you're kidding yourself because you have convinced yourself that you're a good Christian because you observe a few local taboos. I got news for you. You don't understand the Christian life. Your strength comes from the living Scripture. That's called faith. That's exactly what happened to you. Your faith can exceed and grow and increase as you learn the Word of God. Now, here's one thing you must understand. The most powerful thing you possess, the most powerful thing you have, the most powerful thing you can hold on to is what? The gospel message of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because when people hear it and believe it, it will change their life forever and change their eternal destiny. That's right. Listen to what Paul wrote. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. There it is. The gospel of Christ is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes it, for the Jew first, and then also, obviously, for the Greek, for the Gentile. So you have at your disposal the most powerful thing the world has ever seen. You have these words, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You have these words, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should brag about it. When you quote those scriptures to a person that's lost, you are letting them tap into the power of God to have eternal life. Therefore, the Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away, and all things become new. That's how powerful the scriptures are, and that's the power you have. The gospel has the power to change a person's destiny, to change a person's life. And it's at your hands, it's at your resource if you use it. And if you don't use it, then you're just missing out. And why God left you here to start with, because He could have sent some angels to do your job, but He didn't. He left you here to do the job. And your job is to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ so He can draw men to Himself and give the gospel. The most powerful thing you possess is the gospel. So now, our life can now consist of an amazing power that the world does not even possess. Your friends that are not believers don't have it. They don't even understand where it comes from and what it does for you. Listen to 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power. There it is. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. Wow. Three phenomenal assets now available to each one of us, provided by the grace of God through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and by means of the living Word of God residing in our soul. We have a new power. It's called dunamis. A new divine resource. What did he say about that? Let's go back to it. Don't forget it now. Here it comes. God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The word love is the word agapao. That's virtue love. It's a wonderful love asset that God's given to us. And it's called impersonal love for others or personal love for God. Virtue is two ways. Your virtue motivation, what causes you to live the Christian life to start with and do these things we're talking about, is your love for God. And that's why the Bible says, if you love me, you will obey me, and my mandates are not hard. But you're also told you got to love some jerks. You got to love weird people. So how do you do that? Well, there's where you have to learn how to love them based on who you are, not based on who they are. There are a lot of Greek words for love in the Bible, but agapao, a verb, or the noun agape, you might have heard agape before. And this is the love that we're talking about. This is the Bible says God is love. He is love. It's part of His character. It's part of His ability. He is sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, immutability. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's love. So listen to the scriptures again. In 1 John 4:9, in this the love of God was manifested to us. This is how we found it. God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might through Him be saved. That's the love of God that provided that for you. This virtue love is an unbelievable power resource for you, and it allows you to overcome any mental attitude sin, such as bitterness and hatred. 1 John 4:20, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's lying. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen has not loved God whom he hasn't seen. The scriptures also translate the word love as phileo, which we get another word from that, Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. We have a radio show, you may be listening, around Philadelphia now. Another Greek word for love is erao, E-R-A-O. And we get our word erotic from this word. You also have the assets of a sound mind. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. The word sophromisos is a sound mind. And I refer you to the Fantastic Four in Proverbs 2, 10 through 11. Listen carefully. When wisdom enters your heart, that's your mind, and knowledge enters into your soul, that's your mentality, discretion will preserve you and understanding will keep you. This is a powerful asset for you to have the what we call the divine insight, to have spiritual x-ray vision, to have discretion and understanding, and it only comes when you learn the Word of God, when wisdom enters your heart. So what power we possess by discerning the schemes of the devil, we learn that. We learn the lure of the world. We learn the constant yearning of the flesh, and we know that we now know what we are like, and that's half the battle. If you know what you're like, that's half the battle. So that's you. That's available for you. God didn't give you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Gee, I hope you're listening. I hope this is encouraging to you. If I can help you, don't hesitate to contact us. That's Rick Hughes, rickhughesministries.org. Until next week, thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries. The following program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, stick around. It's going to be a great few minutes, about 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, a whole lot of education, but no manipulation. We say that every week, I know, but it's true. We don't con people for money. We're not trying to sell you anything. We're not hustling up funds. We just want to give you some information. Hopefully, you'll be able to use it to verify and identify the plan of God for your life. And if that's so, it's our prayer that you will orient and adjust to the plan. I'd like to thank those of you that have been calling in, telling me what the show means to you and how it's changed your life. I wish I could share all these calls with you and all these letters with you, but taking it too much time. But there have been many, many people that have said, this show has changed my life. And they've searched for a well-qualified pastor where they can start growing on a consistent basis. I'm very grateful for that, and we love hearing from you. Don't hesitate to call if we need anything. You can always reach us at 800-831-0718. 800-831-0718, but we are not counselors. I'm an evangelist. We can give you information from the Word of God, but not how to live your life or give you counseling about your whatever's going on. You may need to see a doctor for that. I'm not a doctor. I'm just an evangelist. But thank you for listening. Hope you'll continue to listen. Today, we're going to talk about something very specific because we have a new book that's in the press now. And that book is called God's Grace in Aging, and I think it is one of the most significant books that we've ever put out. Many of you have heard me announce the printing of that new book, God's Grace in Aging. My associates and I believe that every Christian who has rounded the corner and headed for the finish line should take time to read this book. It will encourage you and challenge you as you press toward the finish line of life. I know that most people that listen to the radio show are at least 50 and above. I don't get many teenagers listening to the radio show. And this is not TikTok. This is not something like that. This is a live radio show that's being broadcast in your area where you live. But I recognize most of us are older people that listen to the show. So growing old in Jesus Christ is certainly not an easy time. You found that out, and I found that out as well. Our bodies begin to wear out, and we find ourselves losing our independence sometimes, unfortunately. Eventually, we are going to receive the call to come to the home office and make the transfer from time to eternity. But until that time comes, then the question is, how will you deal with your physical and your mental difficulties? How will you deal with it? What will it do to you? What can you expect? So we want to talk about that. Remember, Paul said, my weaknesses are an opportunity to utilize the power of Jesus Christ. Where did he say that? He said it in 2 Corinthians 12. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in the reproaches, in the necessities, in persecutions, and distress for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. For when I am weak, then I'm actually strong. And that's kind of a play on words. What he's saying is the weaker I am, the more I have to depend on faith. And the stronger I am, the more I'm independent and I don't need the faith. That's what he's saying is, so as you head into the later years of life like you and I may be experiencing, you're going to find that it's not all about how strong you are. It's all about what you think. It's all about what's in your mind. It's all about how you live your life in your soul, the mentality of your soul. Remember, your soul has mentality. Your soul has volition. Your soul has a consciousness and even a self-consciousness. And the real you is in your soul. And remember, the soul never dies. Once you leave the sin-infected body, you'll go to heaven. You'll get a new body. And your soul and your spirit will reside in that new body forever. It's called a resurrection body, the body like that of the Lord Jesus Christ. But while we are here on this earth, and we are, you and I are still here. I assume we're still here. Better pinch yourself if you're not sure. While we're here on this earth, our Lord used the same assets that you have available to you. He did. What did he use? He used the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of his Father's Word, the power of the Bible, the power of the Word of God. But unlike you and I, he did not possess Adam's original sin. And that's what we call a sin nature. He didn't have that because he was born of a virgin. This is what made the Lord Jesus Christ uniquely qualified to bear the sins of the world. But you and I, on the other hand, we struggle with our sin nature. We've got it. And it has various lust patterns. Some people lust for money. Some people lust for power. Some people lust for attention. Some people lust for drugs. Some people lust for sex. When the sin nature takes over, you will go into that lust pattern, whatever your lust pattern is. And we have those various lust patterns, and that's on top of the physical ailments that we may also be facing in our life as we get into our later years. So if you want to finish the race, and if you want to be faithful to the end, there are indeed several things you must learn to avoid. And it's here, in your weakest hour, that you could possibly surrender to your emotions and experience discouragement in your Christian growth. Because disappointment and regret can overtake your thinking if you are not focusing on God's Word and if you don't stay filled with the Holy Spirit. You can fail, but you need to get up. When we played football in the younger days, we got blocked, but we didn't quit. We got up and got back in the game. We may cover our numbers up so the coach wouldn't say who it was that got blocked. And in the film room, when he was looking at it, he couldn't read your number, so he didn't know who you were. But God, you can't do that. God knows who you are, and you got to get up. So if you find yourself sinning and falling into a lust pattern, rebound the lust, rebound the sin, rebound whatever it is you did. Problem-solving device number one, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us. Rebound and get back up and get back in the game. Don't go sit on the sideline and feel sorry for yourself. Because disappointment and regret can overtake your thinking if you are not focusing on the Word of God. And if you don't stay filled with the Holy Spirit, and that's why rebound is so important. Because rebound is how you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, when you're born, you're indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13 says you're sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. But Ephesians 5:18 said you must be filled with the Holy Spirit. And sin, we know, quenches and grieves the Holy Spirit. So when you sin and fail, you must confess the sin to regain the filling of the Holy Spirit. Because you cannot live the Christian life in the energy of your flesh. That's called human good production, and it won't work. Christian life is a very unique life, and it's designed to be empowered by two unique things. the living Word of God. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, and to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. He that is in you, the Bible says, is greater than he that's in the world. So, don't let your bad decisions of the past rob your contentment in the future. We'll say it again. Don't let your bad decisions of the past steal your contentment in the future. Maybe things didn't turn out as you wished they turned out. Maybe you stumbled and you fell into sin in days gone by. But you are still alive and God still has a plan for you. You may be listening in your car. You may be listening beside the beach. You may be listening in your home. And maybe you look back on mistakes and failures that you did in your life and you have regrets. Don't do that. That's exactly what Satan would like for you to do, to feel sorry for yourself. Maybe you even did something that shocked yourself. You couldn't believe you did it. Well, congratulations, so do other people. Just confess the sin to God and move forward. Get back into the Word of God. Take in Bible doctrine and keep growing every day. Listen to what is written in Philippians 3:13-14 about not looking back. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. That means to have gotten there yet. But one thing I do, I forget the things that are behind me. Forget them. Wipe them out. Don't think about them. And I reach forward to those things that are before me. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You can't live the Christian life looking back on your failures and your flaws. You only live the Christian life under the filling of the Holy Spirit, standing in the dynamics of the Word of God, growing on a daily basis, and moving forward. Keep moving forward. Concentrate one day at a time. And remember, it's not about how much time you have left. Maybe you're thinking about that. I wonder how much longer I'll be here. A friend of mine wrote me a letter the other day and said, you know, getting old is not fun. But he said, I never thought it was going to take so long to get to heaven. He thought he'd just go soon. But no, the Lord kept him around for a few years. You have to concentrate one day at a time. It's not about how much time you have left. But what it's really about is what you do with the time God allotted you. Why is that? Because some Christians get off track in their later years due to their loneliness, due to their isolation, and they feel like they're alone. And that's not unusual. I mean, if you've lost your spouse, your husband, or your wife, they've been promoted to heaven, you may feel like you've been left all alone. And sometimes younger associates quit coming around you because of various reasons, so that causes you to feel a little bit neglected. All these things are addressed in our book called God's Grace in Aging, which you need to get a hold of. Everybody over 50 needs to read this book. I don't know if we can afford to print that many, but because we broadcast in over 120 stations, but you order it and we'll get it for you, I promise you. So the solution to this depressing emotion of feeling lonely is to rebound that sin on self-pity. That's what it is. It's self-pity. It's all it is. Feeling sorry for yourself, and to remember our Lord's final words to you. Can you remember what he said? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, you may look around and say, well, nobody's been to see me today. I haven't seen my kids. I haven't seen my friends. Nobody's been around. Nobody cares. The Lord Jesus Christ lives in you. He fellowships in you. He hasn't left you. He kept you here for a reason. For a purpose, there's a plan for your life, and that is for you to grow in grace and give maximum glorification to God through everything that you experience as you grow older in your older days, okay? So, let's talk about it. Some Christians get off track later years due to that loneliness, due to that isolation, feeling like they're all alone. The solution to this depressing emotion is to rebound, as I told you. And feelings of uselessness. Let's talk about that for a minute. Loneliness and now uselessness. Do you feel useless, like there's no plan for you, like there's nothing for you to do anymore? You can't serve like you used to at your church. You don't have any function and fellowship with people outside organizations where you used to do things. Do you feel useless? Those things often surface, especially when younger family members start taking over and want to call all the shots in your life. One of my wonderful, dear, precious friends talked about having to take the keys away from her mother when her mother couldn't drive, and how mom got really mad at her, but she just couldn't let her drive anymore because she was dangerous. They don't want you to, they don't they don't ask what you want. Your younger children, for example, may just barge in some cases, and just take control, take it away from you. And no longer can you go where you want to go. No longer can you do what you want to do. And this sort of intrusion into your life can lead to sense of resentment and anger. You know, the mature believer, hopefully that's you, hopefully it's me, the mature believer can apply the doctrine of impersonal love. It's a wonderful problem-solving device. Remember, virtue love consists of two things, personal love for God the Father and impersonal love for other people. You love God because he first loved you. That's called reciprocal love, reciprocity. That's what that is, personal love for God. You love him because he first loved you. And then impersonal love is you loving all mankind. Just like Christ loved you, like God loved you when you were a sinner, he loved you based on his character, not yours. And impersonal love is a wonderful problem-solving device because you love people based on your integrity, not theirs. So you got to learn how to use it, how to use that impersonal love, how to keep the relaxed mental attitude and the mechanics of the faith rest drill. So that sort of intrusion into your life can lead to those sins of resentment and anger. But again, if you are a mature believer and you're growing in grace, you can use your flot line and apply impersonal love if you learned it, if you know how to do it, and then maintain your relaxed mental attitude, not get frustrated, not get upset. Because sometimes the future doesn't look very bright, and you might even find yourself questioning, why are you still here? I know I've run into people like that. Why am I still here? Some people may have questions why God doesn't go ahead and just take them on home. Why do they have to stay here and suffer? Why do they have to stay here and hurt every day? Why do they have to stay here and feel alone? Feel useless. Why? When those kind of thoughts pop up in your head, remember this. The Lord will not allow you to shoulder more than you can bear. He tells you that in 1 Corinthians 10:13. And also, I want you to remember this passage for your daily encouragement. I would like for you to write it down, and I would love for you to read it every day. It's Lamentations 3:21 through 25. Here's what it says. This I recall to my mind, and therefore I have hope. Not like I hope it rains. That's not what it's talking about. It means confidence. This I recall to my mind, and therefore I have confidence, great confidence. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, and therefore I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him and to the soul who seeks him. Three things there. I have confidence in him. I wait for him. And I seek him. First thing you should do in the morning when you get up is seek the Lord's favor. Go to the Lord in prayer and thank him for another day. Thank him that he gives you another opportunity to represent Jesus Christ to anyone you may come in contact with. Even if it's just mailing out a bill with a small track in the back of the bill to give it to someone who may open it, might perhaps even look at it. Maybe it's even to a wrong number that calls and you can share Christ with them over the phone. There's opportunities for you. You're not left alone. You're left here for a reason. God has a reason. So, what is it? The Lord is good to those who wait for him. Be patient. Good. It's good to the soul that seeks him. That's hunger. That's positive volition. That's what we came. I was talking to a man this morning. He said he loves to talk to his friends about the Lord, but they're not interested. Well, there's a lot of negative volition in America today because we got so many gifts we forgot who the giver is. And people are not interested in God until they get into a crisis, and then they want their God to pop out of the eight ball and make it go away. And our God doesn't work that way. He's not a genie in an eight ball. If you don't want him now, don't call him when you get in trouble, because it's not going to get an answer, I promise you. Not until you either, number one, accept Christ as your Savior, or number two, get back in fellowship where you should be. Our God did not promise us a life free of adversity. He didn't promise you you're never going to have to suffer. You're never going to have to go through hard times. He didn't promise you that, but he did promise you this, that adversity is inevitable and stress is optional. That's what's so unique about the Christian life and those 10 problem-solving devices when you learn them. They keep the outside source of adversity from becoming the inside source of stress. You're going to have adversity, especially as you age. If you live to be 80, I have a friend that's turning 102 this week. 102, can you believe that? You think, I'm never going to live that long. Probably not. Not many people do. He's from the high end of the gene pool, that's for sure. But as you get to the upper years, you're not going to be free of adversity. You're going to have sickness. You're going to have adversity in your life. But rather, through God's divine provisions for you, He has made it possible for each one of us, you and I, to persevere in the devil's world, to maintain our footing. Remember, the Bible tells us that Satan has a strategy against us. He seeks to defeat us. Even in your old age, he seeks to defeat you. Now is the time of what we call momentum testing, if you're a mature believer. Momentum testing. This is when you go through the valley of the shadow of death and you fear no evil and you come up to momentum testing. This is where Satan gets to cross-examine you like he did Job and see what you're really made of. And you may be going through that right now. But you have the ability to handle all difficulties in this temporal life, regardless of your age. You can handle it and maintain contentment if you use God's problem-solving devices. That's why these divine provisions of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, these 10 problem-solving devices, has made it possible for you to persevere even in this devil's world. Paul wrote it this way in Philippians 4:11, "Not that I speak in regards to need, for I have learned. You hear that? It didn't come to him automatically. He had to learn it. You learn it through teaching and you learn it through experience. I've learned, whatever state I'm in, to be content, to have patience." That's one of the secrets to the Christian life, is contentment. That's a wonderful way to live, because you're not impatient. You're waiting on the Lord. Remember the verse, Lamentation 3:21 through 25, "The Lord is good to those who wait for Him." Okay, that's it. Using the faith rest drill, which is problem solving device number three, gives you the ability to stand behind all of those promises found in the Scriptures and remain confident that God's still in charge. And there are roughly 7,000, that's right, 7,000 promises for you found in the Bible. And it's like a checking account. It's money in your name, but you just got to find the bank and write the check. That's called faith. The bank is the Bible. So when you explore these things and learn them and use them, that's called the faith rest drill. That's what you want to do. Letting you capture your thoughts is a sure way for you to slide into some sort of fear and apprehension. You can't let your thoughts run away with you. You have to focus in times like these, and it has to be on Christ, not on yourself, not on your circumstances, not on what you're going through. There's a wonderful Christian hymn. I bet you've heard it before. It goes like this: "Turn your eyes on Jesus." One of the verses says, "Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." This is in our book called God's Grace and Aging. You should get that book. It's going to be helpful for you. So that's what you have to focus on. You don't focus on the adversity. You don't focus on the circumstances. You don't focus on that. You focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's provided for you. Is that fair? Yeah, that's what you got to do. You got to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. So, it's clear, the Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." If you begin to sense that your emotions are overwhelming you, then just simply make a correction in your course. Quit thinking the way you're thinking. You're thinking human viewpoint. You're thinking self-pity. Don't go there. Think divine viewpoint. Thinking that can give you this wonderful contentment called objective optimism. That's right, objective optimism. Philippians 2:5, again, "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus." That's about as objective as you can get. He knew why He came. He knew what His mission was. And by the way, He fulfilled His mission, and He didn't feel sorry for Himself, and He didn't feel sorry for you. He gave you everything He had. You have the same assets He had. Self-pity, bitterness, you got to avoid all that. Old age gives us new challenges, new difficulties, and it's for a very good reason the writer in Hebrews 12:1-2 said this. He said, "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Now, you might not be able to race right now. You may just be able to shuffle along like some of us. But it's before you, and you're still in the race. You're still upright. You haven't been called to the home office yet. So keep pressing on. Keep going forward. That's what the writer of Hebrews said. Don't get into self-pity. Don't get into bitterness. Don't get into anger. All these are reactionary mental attitude sins that people that grow older must not fall victim to. The aging believer can fall victim to it very easy. You can also throw in anxiety, which is foreboding or anticipating something bad is going to happen to you. This is a stress sin that no aging believer should ever fall victim to. John 14:27, do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Have confidence in your Father. He loves you. He will not abandon you. He will not forsake you. And when he does call you to the home office, it's going to be an unbelievable, glorious day. It'll be the most fantastic day of your life when you transfer from time to eternity. But every believer must prepare for old age because it's coming, and sooner than you think. You've heard me say, time doesn't shout. It just runs out sooner than you think. One of the things that people have a problem with is spiritual apathy. And it's defined as a lack of interest or a lack of concern for the things of God as they get older. As if they want to focus their attention on people to be encouraging them, or my children or my grandchildren to come around and encourage me. But if you ignore the things of God, you're going to be in trouble. And I'll tell you this, if you ignored it in your youth, you're going to find it tough to catch up in your later years. But you can. You can rebound. You can admit to yourself, you know, I didn't pay much attention to God the first 40 years of my life, or 50 years of my life, but now I realize what an idiot I was, and now I realize how much I need him. That's good. As long as there's breath in you, you can continue to redeem the time. Ephesians 5:14-17, therefore he saith, awake you that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, don't be unwise and stupid, but understand what the will of God is. Now is your time to shine as a spiritual influencer. Now you can teach the younger generation how to maneuver through the devil's world. Now you can pray for your family and pray for your friends and fellow laborers in the gospel. Now you can invite some older friends over and give them this book I'm talking about, and maybe encourage them to read it, maybe study it together. Remember, you are still in full-time Christian service, and there are many opportunities for you to represent Christ. And that's why you're still here. So manifest your confidence in God. Wherever you live, manifest your confidence in God, and others will then see the difference, and your confidence and your enthusiasm in God's provision and God's care. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, now we exhort you, we encourage you, we demand you, brethren, that you warn those that are unruly. And here it comes. Now listen, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient towards all men. That's your job. Extend God's grace to those around you. And there are two ways you can help people, by the way. You can put something in their hand or put something in their head. The Word of God is alive and powerful, and it can rescue a lost soul. It can comfort the weak and encourage the discouraged. It can challenge the strong to stand alone and glorify God. So remember to make a pulpit out of your circumstances, because your life is not ending. It's just beginning. So press on to the high ground of spiritual maturity and receive the winner's crown in eternity. And do not forget, God's plan for you is unique and specific to your very own location and your very own ability. So ask him to show you how you can serve him in your days of aging. Listen to the words of Isaiah the prophet. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And then said I, here am I, send me. God left you for a reason. Are you ready to advance? Are you ready to be his voice? And quit focusing on your problems and start looking at the solutions and the opportunities. Until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, host of the Flatline Radio Show, saying thank you for listening. Come back same time, same place. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.